think about that.
All right, good afternoon. Welcome to a special Planning Commission meeting notice, Wednesday, August 19th at 2:30. First item, we've got a set agenda, obviously. Mr. Pagliarini, if you'll confirm, we've got a quorum.
Yes, we have a quorum.
We've got a couple of excused absences. I know a couple of people are going to be coming late because of the special meeting for the 2:30 that we wanted to get ahead of time. So all of the items on the agenda today for the special meeting that starts at 2:30, none of them are public hearings. So there will be no public comment taken other than from the applicants and questions answered back and forth. So we always allot time at the beginning of each meeting for the public to comment, if they'd like to, on any of the items. So I know a couple people have signed up. So the routine we have here is to come forward to the lectern. We'll call a couple of names, but you don't have to sign up. We'll let you just come on up. We'll give you 2 minutes. If you'll give us your name and address, we'll let you speak on any topic that you have on tonight's 2:30 agenda. If you will tell us that you're talking about item 3A or 3B or 3C, so we can make some notes when we're on that topic, we'll be able to try to address those issues or get that information. So, Lynette, if you'll call the names, I'll go ahead and call out the four or five names that are listed, but we'll take them in any order, and then we'll have you come up to the lectern where Kelly is. And then, Kelly, after we get all those comments, then I'll go back to the general statements and comments that came in from correspondence.
Okay.
That's okay.
Rick Riccoboni, Mary Lee Beamer, Steve Gilder, Victoria Hales, and Beth Ryan.
So everybody can come on up, just line up against the sidewall there if you'd like, or be ready to go so we can move things along. And in any order, it doesn't matter what order, if the first person's ready to go, you can come onto the lectern. The microphone's already there. If you'll speak to the microphone a little bit so that everybody in the audience can hear and we'll hear, and if you'll speak to us, we'd appreciate it. So go ahead and start right ahead.
Yeah, my name is Rick Riccoboni. I live in Tennyson in Park West, 3484 Henrietta Harper Road. Thank you for letting me speak. I'm speaking in reference to item 3B on the agenda. This is reference to townhomes versus single-family homes. I'm sure the Planning Board is very well aware of what's happening with Cambridge Square and that whole scenario, and I'm sure you're very tuned to all of those, what the public thinks about the density in this area. But townhomes in the area versus single-family homes is not in keeping, although you've proved a number of them so far, in with the community feel of Park West. Townhomes will also significantly add to the density versus single-family homes. I represent five HOAs. I'm a management company as well in Mount Pleasant, in Park West. I have five of them I represent. One of them they represent is Marsh Walk. Marsh Walk has a road, a Sonia Way, attaching to Liberty Cottages. There's a gate between those two roads so that traffic won't go back and forth. Your planning of 3B indicates that you have a cut-through road between Foxmoor and the new facility. All that's going to do is take all those cars, send it through Foxmoor. Foxmoor has an adjoining road with Churchill, which I also represent, and they're very concerned that traffic will pass through from that whole area, the circle, all the way through to avoid the traffic that's on Park West Boulevard to Churchill. That's something that I'm asking the board to seriously look at and not to approve. Thank you very much.
Thank you for your time. All right, if the next speaker will come on up and give us your name and address and which item you're speaking about.
I'm Marilee Beamer, and my address is 3675 Coastal Crab Road in Mount Pleasant. And I'm here representing the Homeowners Association for Darrell Creek. And item 3C on your agenda addresses the phase 9 for Carolina Park. I don't believe that the cut-through road from Coastal Crab Road to somewhere is a part of that phase. If it is, I'd like to address that. If it's not, I'd like to be put on record for the Homeowners Association stating that if Coastal Crab Road is to connect into Carolina Park, those roads are already teeny tiny. So you're talking about putting 50 to 100 cars going into a very small road to give access to somewhere, which I can't seem to find out where that's going to be. We as homeowners wish to be good citizens in Darrell Creek, and we would like to not add that burden of traffic into Carolina Park. We would like it to be considered that we access the road that goes back to the soccer fields, take that traffic off of. There is currently, it appears to be a cut-through road from Carolina Park going back to Faison. If we could intersect with that, we would like for that to be considered and to not dump our housing cars and vehicles into Carolina Park, but to give a different segue. Additionally, if that cut-through road is to address services coming back to Darrell Creek in the form of paramedics, fire, police, it's going to be practically impossible if there is supposed to be an expedient way to get back to us through that housing development. That's what we'd like to have considered. Thank you.
Thank you very much for your comment. All right, will the next speaker come on up and give us your name and address and which item you're...
Steve Gilder, 2135 Walden Park Drive in Berkeley subdivision of Park West. First is a general comment. If you guys are really interested in hearing our comments, I think we need more advance notice, and a 2:30 meeting time is just not really appropriate. I mean, 2:30 in the afternoon is the time when most people are working. So we need additional time and a later time for the meeting. Second, a couple of factoids. Within Park West, they're knocking down a lot of the trees. 25% decrease in trees increases the runoff by 10%. Those are federal government numbers. That means if they take all of the trees out, we get a 40% increase in runoff. That's going to affect our lakes, our rivers, and other watersheds. Please be aware of that. Also, mature trees can use up to 100 gallons, 100 gallons a day in water. And a large mature tree will use up to 200 gallons a day. Significant impact for taking trees out, regardless of the type of tree. The next is item 3B. 63 townhomes. In 2002-2006, it was 46. How did they get to 63? The thing that they did was take out single-family homes. They've decreased the size of the buffers, and it's just unconscionable that they could do that. It's intended, the space was intended for medium density. It's originally zoned for town center, and they're looking for a zoning change. Well, the zoning is up in the air right now based on the review that the staff commented, and it's up to the town council to resolve the zoning issues. So without the zoning issues being resolved, I don't know how you can approve it. The other thing is egress, one egress through Foxmoor and one through Park West Boulevard. Unconscionable, there were originally two. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much. All right, will the next speaker come on up forward, please? Your name and address and which item?
Hello, Victoria Hallis, 3182 John Bartram Place. I am a resident in Park West, Foxmoor, and I also am the president of Foxmoor HOA. I also represent Park West Students West Board Alliance. And for 11 years, I have been a proud homeowner in Mount Pleasant and have been anxiously awaiting the addition of Cambridge Square to enhance our community. This plan does not meet that criteria. It encroaches on Foxmoor buffers and wetlands and assumes access to our ponds for runoff. This is not acceptable for Foxmoor residents, especially since we share that same pond with a neighboring community, Churchill. So I urge you to deny this plan. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Will the next speaker come on up? And if there's anybody else that wants to speak that's in the crowd, whether you signed up or not, if you want to go ahead and get in line, we'll hear you right next. Go ahead, ma'am.
Hi, my name is Beth Ryan. I'm at 3186 John Bartram Place, Vicki's neighbor. I'm also on the board in Foxmoor, and I'm here to represent my neighbors as well in how we feel about this new sketch plan for the D.R. Horton plan over there in Cambridge Square, item 3B. One of the things that we're concerned about, and I know you've heard it many, many times, is the traffic. We definitely feel that adding this many units in that amount of space is going to have a tremendous impact on already struggling Park West Boulevard. The other thing that we're concerned about, several people have mentioned already, is the cut-through traffic into our neighborhood. We already have many cars cutting through, trying to avoid the traffic on Park West Boulevard. I've heard that this also happens in Berkeley as well. I don't think that it was the intention of the powers that be, the town representatives, for these communities to be absorbing the excess traffic on Park West Boulevard. And that's pretty much all I have to say. Thank you
very much. The next speaker's coming up.
Roger Fitzgibbon, 3396 Boomer Killen Circle in Coatbridge, Park West.
What was the address again?
Addressing 3396 Boomer Killen Circle.
Thank you. Okay.
Agenda item 3B, Cambridge Square. I think one of the major factors in whatever we put in over there is traffic right now. I can tell you firsthand, I was expecting some improvement in the traffic the last couple of days because they directed Rivertown students down 41 to different schools. I drove that this morning, and I can tell you from what I've seen, it's worse. I don't know why, but it is worse. Not only is it backed up from the school now, around past Bessemer and around towards Dunes West, going that direction, it's also now backed up from Bessemer coming towards Graymarsh Road and right up Graymarsh Road. I had to wait before I could even get to Park West Boulevard to make the right turn there. So the traffic situation is saturated right now. Whatever you approve for additional housings in that traffic circle is just going to make it worse. You have to be very sensitive to the traffic situation over there. You can't put a lot of homes that are going to add cars into that area over there. It's not going to work unless you find another way out without going through these other neighborhoods, which is not going to be good. The other situation I think you have to be aware of when you approve these plans, whether they're sketch plans or final plans, and I can tell you I'm upset with the border areas as defined on the drawings when a builder goes in to tear down trees in a whole new area. When they butt up against an existing neighborhood, you have to be sensitive to the neighborhood that's already existing there. I can tell you in Arlington, the development that's going in on Bessemer right now, they cut the trees right down to the Arlington properties that were in there right now. Those people are moving out. That's how upset they are. It could have been very easy to put into the plans a 15-foot or a 20-foot green buffer area in there and keep some trees in there. You can look right through the backyards of those houses right now. Okay, I don't know what's going to happen with this, but you have to keep a green buffer area between the existing properties and the new buildings that are going in there right now. Whatever it is, okay? You have to pay attention to that. You can't just let the builder just dig out the trees right up to the property line. You can't do it. You have to pay a little more attention to that.
Okay, thank you very much. All right, is there anyone else in the audience that would like to speak while we have public correspondence open? Because, again, none of the items on the 2:30 meeting are public hearings, and I want to make sure everybody has the opportunity to speak on any of these items. So is there anybody else in the audience that wants to speak? Okay, Kelly, other correspondence that we've received, I know it's been numerous.
You did, you received a letter pertaining to item 3B, the Cambridge Square item, expressing some concerns with potential environmental impacts of the proposed development, and then you also received some correspondence from the applicant for item 3D. Some of that was a response to staff comments.
All right, and I know everything was loaded up on the website, and everybody had access. We had numerous emails yesterday showing everybody the correspondence. So, okay, any questions for staff on correspondence, general public statements? Okay, then let's move into our first item, which is item 3A, which is a sketch plan, request for sketch plan approval on Harmony Way. Welcome, Shana.
Hi. Okay. Here we have a sketch plan. For Harmony Way, it's currently, Kelly is the red, this is in red, yes. So Porcher's Bluff, St. Peter's Church right here, here's the parcel, and then Rifle Range is right here. So here's the sketch plan. The intended land use for this area is medium density neighborhood, and the proposal conforms to the intended land use. The lot layout, there's 15 lots being subdivided off of this new roadway. This layout will allow the ponds and the pedestrian trails to be accessible. Sidewalk is proposed around the whole entire roadway. see what else. An open space exhibit has been requested by the from the applicant because calculating the open space wasn't clear. We weren't sure if the ponds were included or the buffer areas were included. Let's see what else. A 50-foot natural roadside buffer is proposed along Rifle Range Road. The zoning code specifies that this buffer should generally be 50 feet in depth along minor arterials, but allows the width to be determined during the planning process. In this case, the width will be determined by the Planning Commission. Buffer parcel should be labeled with its owner's name. In addition to this comment, stormwater management regulations shall be adhered to for this project. There was some checklist items that were missing for the sketch plan, and Eddie Bernard has provided additional site and landscape comments as well for the proposed project.
Okay. Lynette, I want to make on the record just note that Elise came in. She's been here previously. I just want to make sure I was on the record. We welcome you.
Thank you.
Okay, questions for staff? Mr. Chapman.
Yes, sir. And I'll make this because when and if we get a motion, it may include staff comments. And based on discussions yesterday, I think this is a typo, but on number 11, for site landscape comments, it says, given the limited sidewalk network in this town, a pedestrian connection from the cul-de-sac should be made to the roundabout crosswalk. Is there a word missing after cul-de-sac?
I think Eddie's intention to this comment is to connect the cul-de-sac to this pedestrian trail and then
connect that over to the
roundabout
sidewalk on Rifle Range.
Yes, sir.
So that was a little different from yesterday, because yesterday I think we talked about the trail to the roundabout as opposed to
the cul-de-sac,
going all the way to the cul-de-sac. And I just want to make sure we're...
Well, let's talk to with the applicant when the applicant comes forward and see what their intentions are.
Well, this is staff comment.
No, I understand.
So it's not something the applicant's doing.
Mr. Chapman, I can clarify just a little bit. I think the most important aspect is just the pedestrian connection with the proposed path with the roundabout. That is the best connection and most appropriate connection there.
That's what I thought.
Is what we talked about yesterday. There's nothing in our regulation that says that you have to extend the sidewalk from a road internally around the pond to another pedestrian feature. However, it would be nice. There's nothing that does require that in our regulation.
I just wanted to make sure if we did all staff comments like we do from time to time, that we're clear on that particular thing. Thank you.
Okay. If there's no other I have some questions, but I really want to hear the applicant first. So why don't we, is the applicant here to make a presentation? All right, come on up and give us your information, and then I'm sure we'll have some questions for you.
My name is Chris Haynes, 665 Cornerstone Court in Charleston. I'm a landscape architect with Hussey Gay Bell. And this is our project, so I'm happy to answer any questions you all might have. I also have our engineers here, so if they start to go in that direction, I can bring them up as well.
Okay, well, the question I had was on the open space. Under staff comments, there was a question on the calculation of the open space. Do we meet the requirements? Do you have enough open space? Tell me about that.
Well, we would propose for open space. It is not the pond area. We've got the area around the ponds, and we'd also like to count the trail area, since we are incorporating a significant trail system into this property, and just to back up to the staff comment, we are connecting that to the roundabout as staff has indicated.
So show us with the pointer there, don't get it off, you're going to connect that trail down to where the pedestrian point is next to the...
Yeah, we're coming through, I believe it's right here, isn't it? Next to the side of the pond.
Right, so you're here. Not going to line, is that a...
That's a crosswalk right there.
That's a crosswalk there.
So it would come down to the town's right away right there and then tie in to the crosswalk on the roundabout.
Is there a sidewalk that goes from your entry point back to the roundabout?
There is not, because there's currently a ditch running down Rifle Range Road. We've got sidewalk within the development.
On both sides?
Yes, on both sides of the road. And we are actually going to, and one staff comments was to accommodate space for street trees. We had a meeting with Eddie, and what we're going to do is we're going to push that sidewalk to the back of the curb so that we have more room for street trees. So it'll be curb, sidewalk, street trees, and then the lot.
So then people, if they were walking down Rifle Range, they could actually go into your trails?
They're going to be owned and maintained by the HOA. So, I mean, it's connected up to, they're not the town's maintenance, but they are the HOA. So I guess in theory, if someone comes off the roundabout here, this trail ties in and they could jump onto the trail system. And then we had met with staff and are showing a connection right here also. I know with Hamlet Point that's there, they're the parcel in between the town park. So if we can show that there, then maybe potentially just could turn into something else to where that trail could extend down to the town park.
Okay. Additional questions for the applicant? I have one follow-up, and that's you've labeled all the trees on these lots, but that's not within our
correct
our rights of the Planning Commission.
And staff let us know that after we
approve removal of any trees on lots. We can only do what's in the right-of-way and the drainage and things
correct
like that.
And we're working with Mr. Bernard on that. He has all the trees have been surveyed, and he has a copy of that information as well.
Okay, additional questions? Mr. Wren?
Chris, do you have a calculation on taking the pond out of it for the open space?
I don't have that with me. Now, I don't know if we have, the pond, so you're asking if we remove the pond,
right,
how much that is?
Mm-hmm. Do you still meet the requirements? That's, I think, is what his
yeah
question is.
Right. I think we will definitely meet the requirements.
Okay. All right. Thank you, Mr. Haynes. Additional follow-up from staff? All right. What's the pleasure of the commission?
Chairman, I'll make a motion.
Okay.
I move that we approve the sketch plan presented for Harmony Way, item 3A, with all staff comments except item number 11. I think it's a, yeah.
We're using a clarify that.
Item number 11 on site landscape comments stating that a pedestrian connection from the cul-de-sac should be made to the roundabout crossing.
You want to?
I'm going to eliminate that. Otherwise, all staff comments. And plus also note that the developer confirmed that he would meet the open space once the pond is taken out. We don't have the numbers, but he confirmed that he would meet.
All right, we have a motion. Do we have a second?
Second.
All right. Kelly, will that take care of, that won't eliminate the tie-in from the pedestrian trail to the street walk, will it? Or Kevin?
No, sir.
It's still okay?
That's still included in Mr. Chapman's motion. What he was eliminating was having the connection internally from that cul-de-sac.
Okay.
Right. There's but another
section. That's fine.
Still a connection with roundabout.
Okay. Additional discussion? All right. I'll call for the vote. Then all in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Motion carries. Thank you very much. We are on item 3B, which is a sketch plan request for approval for Cambridge Square.
Okay, we have 63 townhomes proposed to be within this area, within the Dunes West PD. In accordance with the Comprehensive Plan Future Land Use Map, the subject parcel is intended to be developed as a medium-density neighborhood. The proposed 63 residential townhomes conform to the intended land use. Park West zoning pursuant to the Dunes West Plan Development District Ordinance remains under review. The original zoning map indicates this area zoned as Dunes West Town Center. The Town Center District zoning does not allow townhouse use. The Park West Index map indicates potential townhouse zoning.
All right, Shana, I'm going to hold you up right there before we go any further. I just want to make sure, point of clarification for everybody here, and Mr. Pagliarini, please chime in, or staff, that this first comment is making sure that everybody's understanding what we're bringing forward here with the current situation of the zoning and the definitions and everything. Is everybody clear on that, or do we need any more
question and answering sessions on that before we start peeling back or how we want to move forward. Everybody, does anybody have any questions for staff?
I don't have a question for staff, but I'm ready to make a motion. Okay. I'm ready to make a motion based on what we just heard. And the motion is going to be that we deny this request because it is before us, I think, improperly. It says right here, original zoning map indicates this area is zoned as Dunes West Town Center. Dunes West Town Center District. And this district does not allow townhouses. We don't have a proper zoning for this right now. And as such, until we get a proper zoning, I think it is not properly before us. And I make a motion to deny this request until we get the zoning straightened out.
Second.
All right, we have a motion and a second. Mr. Pagliarini, the question I'm going to ask you to try to address is, well, first of all, let me ask this. I'd hate to have a vote on a motion without allowing the applicant, if they have some other information that they want to bring forward. Can I do that right now?
Yeah.
Okay. So.
Any discussion that y'all wish to have on it or information?
Because I don't want to vote on the motion that's in front of us without, but I don't want to go through the whole plan. If the applicant has something that could help us understand why they would be putting forward a sketch plan that seems to be against something, I would like to personally hear that information.
Sure.
So without going forward to staff report, you're comfortable with me having some question answering session with the applicant?
Yes.
Is that fine? Is everybody okay with that? Okay.
Does the motion still be on
the table? Motion's still on the table. There is a second. All I want to do is I'd like to have a couple point of references made with the applicant to give the applicant opportunity to explain why we are here for what we are. So the applicant here?
Yes.
All right, Mr. Stevens, if you'll come forward, give us your name and address, and I really don't want to get into a presentation on the sketch plan.
Oh, I understand.
This is really solely on staff comment number one on the intended land use, why you're here with a sketch plan where it looks like it could potentially be townhomes and town center zoning.
Yes. My name is David Stevens. I'm at 668 Marina Drive, Clements Ferry Road. I represent D.R. Horton on this project.
And I'm going to ask you to speak into the microphone so everybody can hear us.
Okay. Would you, Kelly, pull up, it'll probably be the first exhibit I gave you. What this is, what you're going to see is a plat that was recorded on 3/21/2006. It was signed by the town of Mount Pleasant, Joel Ford, and it specifically states the zoning on this tract right here, which we are proposing to be, and the zoning being RTH. On the flat, you get us right up there on the right. And this property was bought based on the zoning on this plat.
Right. Can you show us where it's, I know Kelly's looking for it.
Right there, hold on. Right there. 14B, zone RTH, 14, something like that.
And that's the tract of land that's referenced in this sketch plan. That is submitted.
That's correct.
And Kelly, when is that?
We can go to edge, I think, on both sides. You go down a little bit, there's the information. 3/21/06 is the date it was recorded. There's information that Joel signed. Doug, is that your? No, that's not. That's what the property and the sketch plan is based on.
So your point of contention is that the zoning for this tract right now is RTH?
Yes.
And that's why you submitted this sketch plan?
That's correct.
To move forward?
Yes, sir.
Are there questions? Go ahead, please.
We've also heard discussion of then the plan that references this as a town center, which is a different document. I understand it's not
that's not what you're using as the basis, but what's your position on why that is not controlling?
Up until a couple of years ago, we have been allowed in Park West to change the zoning as we see fit overall. It was our understanding we could do that. Up until recently, we have done that. In 2006, we did that. And that's how this plat came about. The same as a lot of tracts in Park West, where if you went back to that original map, they would not be zoned what they are today.
Mr. Stevens, I'm going to stop for a second. Kelly, can you pull up that the map that Mr. Stevens is referencing? I think that Elise is referencing also. It's the, what do you call that, the bubble map, is that correct, or something like that?
I'm sorry.
No problem. I think this helps us. Can't take any public comment or questions back and forth. I'm sorry. Yeah, there you go. Ms. Stevens, can you somewhat point out on this map,
yes,
where this submittal lies and what it shows?
Right in here.
And that's labeled?
TC.
Town Center?
Yes.
Okay. Elise, you want to follow up?
Well, it's not really a question. I guess it's an observation that this is clearly an area of that's in dispute. And I understand what you're saying. And there's a question of the South Carolina and the Local Government's Conference Planning Act. And there's, I share some concerns about wading into territory that is so contested. So just off of that as a comment. And, but I understand your point. Of it was the original zoning. You're using the original zoning as being consistent, and that this was
proposed in a PD, a floating zoning. I mean, yeah. A great example is right here. Shopping center, schools. The president was originally zoned multifamily. Mm-hmm. You know, you can go back in. Coat Bridge is sitting back here, an OP part of it.
Yep.
Tennyson is sitting back here in RTH. Got conservation here, that's zoning good. Over here, this is zoned to art. This was originally a commercial zone, and a great portion of this has been taken back to art. But there has been discrepancies throughout. And it was only brought up recently that it was a problem.
All right, hang on, Mr. Stevens. Let's see if there's any more additional questions. Any additional questions for Mr. Stevens on this issue? Mr. Bryson.
Kelly, can you help me understand, what does the town categorize this zoning as?
PD, plan development.
PD.
With no subzoning.
Our position is that the 1990 zoning map is controlled. So whatever the various the zoning district applications are always based on that map.
Anything else, follow up? Okay, Mr. Stevens, thank you right now. I might have some follow up. So
thank you.
Thank you. All right, so we have a motion on the table, and the discussion, I just want to follow up with Mr. Pagliarini is, I mean, this is an issue that's in front of us that the Planning Commission needs to decide tonight on whether they want to move forward on the sketch plan, because this is a viable reason for denial if we don't have a proper submittal in front of us. Is that correct, Mr. Pagliarini?
Mr. Price has stated the town's position, the Planning Department's position on zoning, also which is currently the town's position on the zoning. This body needs to make a factual decision as to what it believes the appropriate zoning is based on the information provided. If you do not believe the proper zoning is proper, this body does not have the authority to make that decision. If you believe the zoning is proper, then you can move forward and discuss the plan as submitted.
So, since there is a motion for denial on the table, I'll try to speak as loud as I can, folks. I apologize for the rain. Since there's a motion for denial on the table right now, we need to take a vote. We can discuss a little bit more, basically to see if we want to go any further. If the motion for denial does not pass, then we'll entertain the rest of the sketch plan and then vote up or down or entertain whatever motions come at that time. But if a motion denial passes based on the reason that Mr. Chapman has set forth in his motion, then we won't be entertaining the rest of the sketch plan. So I want to make sure that everybody's clear on the motion that we're voting on at this time. So I'm just going to go through real quickly. If you want to have any other follow-up or any other questions for staff or the applicant. Malone?
No other questions.
Mr. Chapman, you made the motion. I'll give you the final follow-up. Mr. Wren?
I just have a comment.
Give us 1 second. Let Hurricane Hugo go through.
That I respect the town's position because just, you know, in our time here, we've seen this come up time and time again, and it's, you know, not fair for, I don't think, town staff to try to figure it out, applicants as well, and our body too. And, you know, there's a means to do this project, and it needs to, in my opinion, go through the proper zoning channel. So I will be supporting the motion.
Mr. Bryson, you have any discussion or questions? All right, Elise?
I agree with what Mr. Wren said, that this is there is a process still. It's not a denial to allow them the chance to go through it. Put the zoning on the record.
Okay. Chapman, you have any follow-up? All right, then I'm going to call for the vote on the motion for denial based on the reasons Mr. Chapman had suggested, and I'm going to have a roll call vote on that.
Ms. Campaign?
Aye.
Mr. Bryson?
No.
Mr. Chapman?
A yes vote is for the denial. Is that correct?
Yes.
That's
correct.
Yes.
Mr. Wren?
Aye.
Mr. Malone?
Aye.
Mr. Neal?
No.
Motion passes 4-2.
4-2. So we have a motion for denial. So we are on to item 3C. 3C is a preliminary plat for Carolina Park.
Okay, we have Carolina Park preliminary plat. Here is the location of phase 9. Here's proposed future development, phase 7, phase 6, and phase 8, that was at Planning Commission last month. The applicant has addressed all sketch plan submittal comments, and all checklist items have been provided.
Shana, let's hold on for 1 minute
okay.
Here. Let's just... nobody can hear anything, and the ducks are pairing up in the parking lot. Shane, if you can speak loudly, and we'll try.
So here's the location of phase 9. Future development is proposed to be in this area. There's phase 7 right underneath it, phase 6, and then phase 8 in this area right here. And then Darrell Creek Trail is along here, and Coastal Crab, I believe, is right in this area. The applicant has proposed 37 single-family units provided in the Carolina Park PD. All the sketch plan submittal items have been addressed. All the checklist items for this preliminary plat have been addressed as well. And additional comments have been provided to the applicant for detailed engineering and site and landscape comments. Eddie also has provided comments before the board as well.
Okay, do we have any questions for staff?
Yes, sir. I do. One of the residents out here apparently had some difficulties, just like I did, trying to figure out where this goes. And, you know, we've got a plat, and I looked at the plat. And normally, I can read a plat and understand a plat, but there's too much missing on this for me to really understand where it is within Carolina Park.
Okay, well, so here's the proposed phase 9. The connection she was concerned about was in this area right here, and those phases have not yet been proposed.
Okay.
And then here's phase 7, which is currently under construction.
Right.
Phase 6 is located in this area, and phase 8 is under the permitting process right now.
Show me Darrell Creek Road.
Darrell Creek Trail is right here.
And then goes around. So this could have access to Darrell Creek Road, but for the buffer, is that correct? I mean, it doesn't show it.
Darrell Creek, Mr. Chad, the Darrell Creek Trail right here is where the road is located, and then it heads towards the river in that direction. So this space is not directly but the Darrell Creek Trail right in front.
Well, no.
It does look like there's maybe wetland in the area.
So you have to go through the wetlands to get to Darrell Creek Trail.
Yes, sir.
Do you mind if we let the applicant who knows this property
better? I need help.
No. Why don't we save that comment for the applicant when he comes forward, because I'm sure we'll have some questions. Are there any more questions for staff at this time on the application? All right, well, the applicant I see is present. If the applicant can come forward and try to address a few questions and comments for us, I'd appreciate it. Give us your name and address.
Yeah, I'll try to speak up.
Do your best you can.
Frances Timmons with Seaman Whiteside, 501 Wando Park Boulevard. I think the question you had was connecting to Darrell Creek Trail, and the area you're pointing to is actually a private lot behind Phase 9.
Is there any way we can blow that section there up a little bit? Is that possible? Yeah, that's good for me. Is that okay?
Better.
Okay, tell us about the backside of Phase 9.
Okay.
And you can use a pointer if you'd like.
Okay, so this dark line is the Phase 9 phase limit. This area back here is a private lot that fronts Commonwealth Drive right here.
Say that again. I'm sorry, I didn't hear you.
Okay, this area right here is a private lot, and this driveway, the frontage for this lot is on Commonwealth Drive right here. So this whole area in here is a private lot.
Okay.
And Darrell Creek runs into Commonwealth.
Correct. This is where Darrell Creek Trail ends and Commonwealth begins right here.
And then show me the Coastal Crab Road, that connection where it is, or tell me what the future plans are for what's going on. We had a public comment about the concerns about Carolina Park Road and Coastal Crab.
So Coastal Crab is about in this area right here, and that was actually a town request to provide a connection to Coastal Crab, the existing road right here.
That's just more, that provides additional interconnectivity? Yes.
Yeah, we talked about this before, a few times in the past. What's going to be important is that this continuous collector road right here extend and tie into directly into the Coastal Crab Road without it turning into a minor road.
Freeway.
So it will be one continuous collector type road that will handle more volume of traffic.
And
all the other subdivisions will be connected to that collector road.
That road is Braden, is that correct? The one that connects Braden?
Braden, I believe so.
This road on Banning Street,
Banning,
right here.
Banning Street, right here.
Banning.
Banning
Street.
Okay. Mm-hmm. That I understand.
All right, the other one I had is, again, the tree comment you had on the phase. That you could remove trees on the lots, and we don't have that jurisdiction. So
right.
Put that down. Are there any additional questions for the applicant? Okay, thank you very much.
Thanks.
Are there additional follow-up questions for staff? All right, what is the pleasure of the commission? Do we have a motion?
Mr. Chairman, I'll make a motion.
Okay.
That we approve Carolina Park Phase 9 as presented with all staff comments.
We have a motion. Do we have a second?
Second.
We have a motion and a second. Any further discussion? Seeing none, I'll call for the vote. All in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Opposed? Motion carries. Through the storm. All right, we are on item 3D, which is a preliminary plat request.
This is
for 905 Kincaid Drive. Go ahead, Mr. Mitchell.
That is correct. Yes, this is a subdivision request to subdivide one lot into two lots. The location, the location is off Kincaid, Erkman, Major Street. It's actually at the corner of Major and Kincaid Street. McCants is right here. There's McCants. Coleman Boulevard, subject parcel is located here on the corner of Kincaid and Major Street. It is zoned R2 and special R2 district. Staff comment, the existing structures are to be removed prior to final plat approval. Kelly, can you go to, give me one more. Currently the lot has an existing structure that will have to be removed prior to the final plat following the decision of the Planning Commission tonight. It is zoned R2. Can you back up? This is the zoning map. The location of the lot is here. This color is R2, located in the neighborhood. Okay, there is a special R2 zoning which allows the encroachment into the front setback for porches. That information has been provided just as information only. Number four, on staff comments, the proposed lots meet the minimum lot size. Kelly, can you go to the next? The minimum lot size of 8,000 square feet. However, these lots are not in proper relation to the street and block design established in the neighborhood. The smallest lot in the general area is at least 12,000 square feet. This is the subdivision, the original subdivision that was approved in 1955. The parcel is highlighted here. As you can see, the neighborhood itself has pretty large lots. The smallest one I was able to calculate was just over 12,000 square feet. The only subdivision that I could pick up was that lot right there had been subdivided. I didn't really see where there's been any other subdivisions within the neighborhood. The proposed new lots are 8,580 square feet and 8,945 square feet. Under the same title ordinance, the corner lots are to be created with frontage on either side, which they have done and they can accomplish with their new property line. And the orientation could be both ways. Kelly, can you go to that? Thank you. That is, the setback is 25 from Kincaid and also 25 from Major Street. So they can accomplish the front setback on either side on the corner lot. The average depth needs to be 90 feet. This is an exhibit that was provided by the applicant demonstrating that the average depth has been met at 90 feet. Because this doesn't conform with the neighborhood design, the lots are smaller. The Planning Commission has the authority to grant exceptions based upon hardship. I provided the referenced ordinance below, referencing the lots and blocks 155-0478. About the lot size and width, shape, and orientation shall be in proper relationship to the B, which is street and block design. Also, same chapter in the ordinance provides the authority to the Planning Commission to provide exceptions based upon extreme hardship. The last comments,
is number five, talking about the trees. The applicant has hired an arborist to give us a tree condition. There are some large trees, and this located in this area. Those were deemed in poor and fair condition. This is the only tree that was a B in good condition. And as you can see, this is the tree protection zone around the 38-inch live oak. And this is the buildable area of this proposed lot. This is the proposed subdivision line. But this is the proposed buildable area. There's 30-plus feet from the front setback to the tree protection zone. The rest, number six, are just checklist items to be addressed if the project moves forward.
Okay. Kevin, go back to the map that shows a bunch of houses. There you go, a bunch of lots. So really, this comes forward to us, or this opportunity is there for a developer or an applicant, mainly because it's a corner lot, right? So I mean, the lots down the street next to it, all the way to the right, you couldn't subdivide those because they'd all be landlocked.
Well, that's not true. This one has enough width to be subdivided.
Well, that I meant to the right down Kincaid.
Here?
Yeah, down Kincaid. Yeah.
Well, I mean, you could probably put two together and make three to make the width. I think they've got the width challenge right in this area. There has to be a minimum width of 60 feet. And I believe those are like 80-foot lots, so they don't have they have to have 120.
And we've done this, you have one of those other maps that came back up. We've done this, if I recall, a couple of times.
I know there has. Yeah. I know there's been some corner lots throughout this entire area that has had that done.
Okay.
In the past.
Okay, additional questions for staff? Well, let's go with Joe, and Joe's been in the lease.
Kevin, going back to the trees, and the staff report has said, you know, that there was four historic trees that were not going to be removed, and you were going through, so that's still...
That's correct. They're,
okay, even the poor and fair?
It's they're not planned to be removed right now, but the conditions were provided for additional information.
I think there's some additional information we received today, and I'm sure the applicant will follow up on the tree stuff. Anything else, Mr. Rand? Yeah. Elise?
I just want to make sure I'm following you properly on your comment before, where you're talking about that if subdivided, it doesn't follow the same street and block design.
Yes.
And that issue of frontage is typically a corner lot has frontage on both sides. So your point is, in that comment, you're saying you can make an exception based on hardship.
Well,
but through this,
I think you've got a slight misunderstanding.
Okay.
The ordinance says the lot size at the beginning of number two.
The fourth staff comment.
But the orientation for this corner lot has the ability to front Kincaid and Major Street.
Yeah, the rest of the lots on Kincaid Street all face Kincaid Street. So this would be the first one, it looks like to me, that would face Major Street.
Yeah.
That's not other than what's already there.
It's not the orientation of the building. It's just the fact that these two lots are going to be disproportionately smaller than most of the lots in the subdivision.
Right.
And it does provide in the ordinance itself, the Planning Commission can approve those type of conditions to occur. It can't be at staff level.
Right, but where you say the average depth of this question and verified as being a minimum of 90 feet, planning, so we have authority to grant it based on hardship. That hardship standard in your last sentence of comment four is what I'm curious about. Like, this
yes, ma'am.
A hardship question.
Yeah, at the time the comment was made, we were not sure if the average was 90 feet.
Yeah.
The exhibit that was provided, we couldn't determine what the average was. The applicant followed up with an exhibit, and this is 90 feet right there, which means that
They don't need the hard.
The average gets wider, so it accomplishes the 90-foot average depth.
If it was less than 90 feet, they could apply and we could prove it or disapprove it, but since it's already at 90 feet, it still complies. Is that right?
That's correct.
All right, additional questions for staff at this time? All right, why don't we have the applicant come forward, give us your name and address and any information you want to share with us?
Sure. Jason Ray, 1509 Old Village Drive in Mount Pleasant.
Speak up as much as you can.
Jason Ray, 1509 Old Village Drive in Mount Pleasant.
Do you have information for us? Or you?
I think there were some questions in regards to the trees. We had them all graded. They were the large live oak on the 15A was great.
Use a pointer and show us.
Laser right there.
Okay. 15A is, we intend to keep that. It's a beautiful tree. Again, we have an arborist that we have hired to manicure and take care of all four of the trees. As a matter of fact, there's technically only three grand trees, according to his report. This tree here is actually a 17-inch oak and a 20-inch, I'm sorry, 17-inch oak and a 10-inch water oak. So it's also a poor grade. It's a D. This tree here is dead, and it's an F grade. Again, my intent is to keep every tree if we possibly can, but we'll trim it up. I mean, these trees are, this site, the trees, the house, everything has not been touched since Hugo. And believe it or not, people live in there, and it's overgrown the house. So we'll trim it up according to what our arborist has to say and, of course, the town. And this, and one more thing, this is actually 95 feet, this line here.
What are your plans for the orientation of the house? Just curious.
You know, these are going to be really nice, well-done houses with, you know, I think we'll have, I hit laser.
That was operator error.
So the houses, you know, they'll be well-done, nice custom homes that you're seeing on some of these other subdivisions and without the old Mount Pleasant and Old Village area. I think that can be handled in design. I think you can have what they call a Charleston single on this first house, or you can orient it both ways. So you essentially have both two fronts. You have one fronting Kincaid or one fronting Major. You know, that's kind of pending, but of course we want to do it really, really nicely. So hopefully that answered your question.
Okay. Are there additional questions for the applicant? All right, thank you, Mr. Ray.
Yes, sir.
I imagine his hardship would be that he had to bend over 6'5" guys and bend over for a microphone. But we don't have to meet that requirement. All right, are there additional follow-up questions for staff? What is the pleasure of the commission? Mr. Malone.
Mr. Chairman, I'll make a motion that we approve item 3D with all staff comments.
Second.
We have a motion and a second. All right, follow up with the discussion. Any comments? All right, then I'll call for the vote. All in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Motion carries. Thank you. We are on item 3E, which is a request for approval of a revised sketch plan and preliminary plat for Sneak Farm Village. We should all be familiar with this. And before we move forward, Mr. Chapman.
Chairman, I've got to recuse myself
for this item. Okay, so please note that Mr. Chapman is recusing. All right, so we still have five and a quorum. All right, Shana, if you can talk loud.
Okay. Here we have the revised sketch plan and preliminary plat submittal for Snee Farm Village. The reason why it's going to under a revised sketch plan is because they have taken out the multifamily units and have put three lots. So the whole proposal is 30 single family residential lots zoned within the PDMUSU district. Let's see. After staff.
Shana, let me ask you a question.
Yes.
On this submittal, is this the exact same submittal that came before us a month ago other than the change in the multifamily?
Yes, sir.
Do you mind going over just the change in the multifamily aspect of it and show us that highlight, because then I'm going to open back up the questions for the commissioner, because I think we're all very familiar with this application.
Right. Well, like it was stated, the multifamily, I believe 12 units were placed in this area right here, and the applicant has requested to go through revised sketch plan to put the three lots in this area. And other than that, Everything else has been addressed within the sketch plan comments and some minor preliminary plat checklist items, too.
So I'm going to lead off with a few questions. And so, Mr. Mitchell, nothing's changed with drainage from the multifamily to three lots, correct?
That's correct, yes, sir. They still have the same drainage plan as before.
We have no issues with density hitting numbers moving from multifamily to three single-family lots, correct?
Oh, that's allowed within their plan development district.
And there's no other changes to curbs or anything else? No other traffic concerns, parking concerns, anything like that, correct?
They've addressed all of those at the last sketch plan submittal request.
Okay. Are there, would the commissioner like to hear more information from staff on this, or do we have questions for staff? Okay. Do we need the, is the applicant here and like to make a presentation or be available for questions?
I'm available for any questions.
Are there any questions for the applicant? The only one, this compromise was worked out based, give us your name and address real quickly.
Yes, sir. Patterson Farmer, Seaman Whiteside, 5011 McCullough.
And basically this compromise worked out because the community wanted this and didn't want the multifamily.
Yes, sir.
How this came about.
Correct. Yeah, we worked with the Snead Farm HOA, and they expressed their concerns against multifamily. So we requested all single family, 30 units.
All right. Well, I'll tell you, that's really good news to work with the outlying community. All right. Are there additional questions for the applicant? All right, thank you very much. Additional follow-up questions? What's the pleasure of the commission?
Chairman, I'd like to make a motion to approve agenda item 3B with all staff comments.
Okay, we have a motion. Do we have a second?
Second.
We have a motion and a second. Follow-up discussion? Seeing none, I'll call for the vote. All in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Motion carries. Thank you. We'd like to welcome Mr. Chapman back for our last item, which is item 3F. Which is a request for approval for three street names for Tupelo Road. Kelly?
Yes, sir. This request is for three street names in Tupelo Row, which is in the Tupelo development off of the main, I think it's Tupelo Forest Drive that comes in from 17, Tupelo Row. So these the street names Tupelo Branch Road, Triple Crown Court, and Preakness Court are intended for that section of the neighborhood. And then the fourth street name, which is Secretariat Run, is actually a name for an access easement to a lot in the large lot section of Pepper Plantation. But because the lot does not have much frontage on the Thunder Gulch Trail Street, 911 is requiring this to be named so that it can be found by emergency personnel.
And we have all of the proper documents from the county okay?
Yes, sir. They've all been approved by Charleston County
each
Consolidated
one of these
Dispatch.
Names. All right. Do we have any questions for staff? What's the pleasure of the commission?
Mr. Chairman, I'll move we approve the three street names.
Second.
Motion to the second?
Yes, four.
That four street names.
Four.
You want to modify that
second.
four street names? All right. We okay with that?
Yes.
Second. Lynette, you good?
Yes, sir.
All right, any discussion? All right, I'll call for the vote. All in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Motion carries. The special planning commission meeting is adjourned. Put on your duck boots.